would like to tell you, we are mostly dealing with very boring things, but since you are here, please stay, because you've had some of our lunch, and you just can't have our lunch without staying till the end. Okay, colleagues, we need 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we need one more person. Where is Alf is coming? Because I've been dealing with Alf right up till this morning. Okay, but just bring Alf and ask him where he is. Okay, so basically, we should have one opposition member. Basically, to report back, following the meeting yesterday, and I'm going to be very brief, I did, in fact, read all the stuff. You'll be interested to know. And you see, because it's very technical, I wanted a friend of mine to look at it. Unfortunately, colleagues, I found him. It's got this international ringtone. I WhatsApped him, and I emailed him. I don't know where he is, because I wanted him to give an independent opinion. This friend of mine, an academic who knows about these things. So unfortunately, I couldn't. But I read the stuff, and I found my brother there from National Treasury, Mr. Kavinde, right, last night, and explained to him that from what I can see, this is your area and Lisa's area, really. Tandi, you're the best on this, right? Therefore, you'll have to speak to the committee, whether you hear or not by July this year, about why you are not. we want to do an intensive investigation about why you are not here, and you will not answer to the disciplinary committee. Even if we are not here, all of us will come back and have a disciplinary inquiry. But Tandi, I accept, can you note that Tandi sincerely and profusely apologizes for not coming yesterday, and she wrote to herself as the whip to tell herself that she won't be coming when the rules say she must tell the chair. So she wasn't here. She's our expert in this area of derivatives and all that. Secondly, it's all on record. No. Secondly, I hope the TV cameras are capturing it, Tandi. I'm not apologizing, and you can't speak. Secondly, I tried to get hold of somebody to look at it. Right? As I told you, he's outside the country, presumably. He hasn't come back to me even now. But thirdly, I did read it. The letters make sense to me, right? But when I look at the actual provisions, then it's a bit harder to say. Fourthly, I spoke to Alf Lees again this morning. I said, Alf, you're the resident expert in the committee. Never mind you, DA. That's his area, right? And he said, look, he's looked at it, and he himself can't see anything, but he understands it, he says. He says, from what he can see, he's understanding it, right? So in the circumstances, I think we should accept it, right? Because the Reserve Bank governor is the most credible. With due respect to Treasury. Due to Treasury. The Reserve Bank governor is most credible. Unati as well as his representative, right? Yeah. So Unati also, Mr. Kavina, they're credible in the sense that they are. There's no political sort of penetration or subtext, right? Basa also is a bit, frankly, with due respect to them, questionable, because they came and made a big noise last week, and now suddenly they said they changed their mind. But they explained why. So having said all of that, I think we accept the pension thing. Now, we have to go through the bill. Colleagues, comrades, you can come back in 10 minutes, really, if you like, because we'll need at least 10 minutes. Oh, it's fine. Okay, fine. Can I actually then ask, is it Impi, are you taking us through the bill? Oh, yes, just to inform you, the team worked very hard. They were at it till about, the last one I got was from Impi at about 21-something. Secondly, this morning we met in my office at 9:15, the team, and I went through all the things so that we process things and there's not like a sub-clause of a sub-clause missing. Now, under the circumstances, I think they've done well. But we might find one or two glitches and maybe they can sort that out on the NCOP side. It'll only be in respect of cross-referencing, but I can't think it'll be anything else. So, having said that, I'm handing over to your team. Who's going to deal with it? Impi, Frank, Zakele worked on it together, and together with Mr. Nkabinde, right? What's your first name, my friend?
Lange, Chair.
Lange.
L-A-N-G-E.
L-A-G-E.
Lange. For Langelise.
Yeah, Langelise, right. Good. We're done. Now, over to who?
Lange, maybe the insolvency and the rest.
Yeah, let him do that, yeah. Lange, are you a lawyer?
Yes, Shepherd.
Oh, right. No. Why are you laughing? It just adds credibility.
Yes.
Oh, only in Parliament, not in a court of law.
Did you also do international law?
As part of my undergrad, yes, but not when I was doing articles. No.
All right. Can I clarify, put that down before? A lawyer is only credible in the parliamentary. When they go to court, they defend wrong people, right? So I'm not saying.
But there I agree with you, Chair. You know, there I agree with you. They also defend.
Why you did wrong and you had a lawyer who got you scot-free? Yeah, okay. Okay, hey, there must be longer.
Yes.
Okay, the chairperson is admonished by the chairperson. Move that. The chairperson moves criticism of himself. He's behaving very badly, and he should be penalized. Right, good. I'm listening to who said yes.
Chairperson, my understanding is that I'm just going to just deal in a nutshell with just how the amendments are going to work without necessarily going.
Yes, we went through all of that yesterday.
Yes. So, yes, Chairperson, as you're aware, this is for purposes of ensuring that we comply with our international obligations under the G20. Other member states have already made the necessary amendments in terms of their bankruptcy and insolvency laws, and it's also to ensure that we meet the implementation deadline. Most of the creditors that we're referring to here will be banks. They will be the ones who will be mostly affected. They're mostly the ones who create this OTC derivatives market. And in a nutshell, what we're trying to provide for is where one creditor and another creditor, they enter into a derivatives contract. We want to make sure that should one of the parties become insolvent, then the collateral, which is money, maybe bonds, that they gave to each other, they'll be able to immediately have it. And the underlying reason for this is to make sure that there's financial stability and also to make sure that there isn't any risk that spreads in the market because of this one insolvent, and it will be a bank in most instances. Because of this one insolvent bank that has now defaulted on its other obligations. And I think the key principle here is the immediate. So in terms of the Insolvency Act, you have to pay back this collateral or the money. But we are saying it's fine, you don't have to pay it back, you can keep it immediately and it must be available. That's the, if I could just explain in a nutshell, the crux of what we're trying to do.
Is there no pre-principle policy that can avoid the contagion from the onset before you even go to the collateral? For instance, to say there should be a guarantee that is put. I know people use collateral as a guarantee, but isn't that, because you shouldn't wait until there is a problem for you to utilize the collateral as a guarantee to keep. Is there no other prescript that has been put except or a mechanism that can detect the contagion? There isn't, except that.
For OTC derivatives, it's a financial instrument, really, very complex financial instrument. But it's good for making sure that there's enough money circulating in financial markets. It's also used for hedging purposes. So during the crisis, unfortunately, these transactions were not regulated. So as part of the agreement amongst all member states that we should all regulate them in the same manner, some of the think tank institutions like the BCBS and IOSCO decided that margin, which is just exchanging the property, initial margin. So it just means that I give you something, property, money, or bonds, and you give it to me to make sure that if something happens that goes wrong with this transaction, or if I become insolvent, then you at least can have your property back, and you are then protected in that manner. Whereas previously it wasn't there, and then problems arose because of during the crisis. So that's just in a nutshell. I don't know if Nat, you might want to add.
Not prolong it, but maybe directly to the question around whether there are other mechanisms. So initial margin is one. Other mechanisms that we're putting in place is reporting of these transactions, which did not happen in the global financial crisis. So one of the points that I made yesterday, or that's made in the letter by the governor, is that this is one component of a package of reforms. We also have a joint standard that we are working on together with the FSCA, which requires this bilateral exchange of margin, but also creates a regulatory framework for over the current derivative providers, which puts on them obligations to report these transactions to trade repositories as well. So it's about transparency. It's transparency, and then this initial margin exchange, which is collateralization of the exposures.
This is what they did not do in the last time. They explained that it's only affecting banks specifically. Remember, if you had said that in advance, then you could have cleared the cloud from the onset.
Yeah, but also, you see, what worries me is that people go to court. If somebody or the other, for whatever bizarre reason, as a company or something, is negatively affected by what we're going to do, they go to court and say, you didn't sit adequately enough and discuss this issue in terms of the requirements for consultation. The Reserve Bank Governor, Cash Kuvadia, more to a large extent, also seemed to confirm it, and yesterday it emerged that this thing doesn't, it's more about our international obligations and so on. That's the argument we used with the Chief Whip as well.
But basically it's not only that, Chair, because it set a principle.
Yes.
In an international standard,
yeah,
which puts a margin in terms of contracts that are signed between two parties so that there's a collateral. And that is at least protected. So it's a standard that doesn't necessarily, not only from an international perspective, but for any transaction that should happen, should be a basic principle to protect those who transact. So to me, it suffices. At that time, my concern was not based on a transaction that happens between banks. It needed to give more clarity that was it affecting any other transaction beyond financial institutions.
Yeah. That should all have been said yesterday, right? But let's leave that aside. You've got something to say quickly, 30 seconds. Good. So we're done. Next issue, please.
Chair, Google says 2-9 deal with the Military Pensions Act amendments. Now, that's firstly to deal with the recognition of different kinds of relationships, customary marriages, civil union as well, and there's also life partner relationships. And then also to make the bill
No, but you repeated what you discovered. We just want to know the clauses. You made some changes, right? There's a TO, I believe you
There's in relation to and 2A, there was a missing 2. And then there's a few places, though we have a general clause where we say wherever he is used, you must add or she and in the actual clauses we're amending, we missed that we didn't put it immediately there, so we put that in.
That's right. Okay, next.
Then
there's no change of policy, it's exactly what is there. Just focus on the technical amendments. We've discussed all this here.
And then
No, they did very good work so far.
Then clause 10 and 11 deals with the BAMS Act amendments. And then the change was that it should be limited to national, state-owned companies. So in 10, you will see that if it says includes a national, state-owned company. So it wouldn't include provinces and local government. And then in 11.1A, we repeat that it's a national, state-owned company. And that will apply throughout that subsection.
And we did minister rather than executive authority, right?
Oh, yes, sorry. That's good? The other in B. Because it only could be a minister now in the case of a national department. So those are the changes to the Banks Act.
Right, so I think this is fine. Yes, but we had a discussion yesterday, Sandy, for a variety of reasons, right? And we decided that we're not saying no to provincial banks. We're scared about tagging issues, but more importantly, we need more discussion about it because you've got Itala. It's a legacy issue. They can still continue to function in terms of the existing law. But what about other provinces demanding they can have if we want it too? So we need more discussion. And in fact, in our report, we say they must discuss it immediately after the elections. Good. Next.
Clauses 12 and 13 are the amendments to the GEP's pension law. We corrected there was a reference mistake in the introduction of 12 where we referred to not to 2D, which we should
have. Yeah, you corrected that, yes.
And then
yeah.
13, there was a missing, we should have said 24A.
Yeah, you've done that already 24. Yesterday, right? So as I understand it, we're done. Is that correct? Any problems from the team? No. Then we now move for, well, let me take you through the bill, right? Formally now, and then we'll vote on it, right? So we'll do it the way we've been doing it. Page 1, is there anything? Right, clauses 1 onwards, clauses 2. We're going on to page 4, then clause 2 on page 5, clause 3 on page 6, clause 4 on page 6, clause 5, clause 6. You will raise your hand if you have any problems. Not you, Tandy. Clause 7, clause 8, clause 9, clause 10, clause 11, clause 12, clause 13, clause 14 is obviously a short title. A mover for the bill as a whole. Right, second there. Right, good. Thank you. Now we look at the motion. We look at the motion of desirability with Mr. Shivambu's bill. So we're looking at the Banks Amendment Bill, right? Now, I read to you the report on it, and do you really want me to read it to you again? It's exactly the same report. Or can we have a mover and a seconder? Or, where's Frank? Frank, are you here? Must I formally have to move this again, eh? Must I read this report quickly? Okay, fine. It's a half a page report. Okay. Mr. Floyd Shivambu, Tandi Tobias's good friend, introduced the Banks Amendment Bill on 15 May, it's here in the report. I didn't draft this. MP drafted this to amend the Banks Act.
No, the chair, Alan just showed me a letter from Mr. Honorable Shivambu.
Yeah, oh, I didn't see it. What
where
did you see?
He wants his bill not to be dealt with, and I think, and I'm as a Remainer lawyer, and not like he wants the bill to be revived in the 6th Parliament, but of course, whether it gets revived depends on who's got the majority and decide to revive it.
All right, so can you write a lawyer's letter? We can't do that, am I right?
The committee can decide to deal
okay,
with that
so
bill before the committee.
Can I read it to you?
The committee can decide.
Can I read it? We must give him a chance, right? He contacted me yesterday to find out what's going on. I said to him, I will send you the reports. I sent it to him first, once we'd done it, right? And then I sent it to him, so that at least the guy doesn't fly in today. He was in Joburg yesterday for elections. Why should he fly in just for half an hour if his bill has been rejected, right? So this is what he says. I only got this now. I haven't seen it. Mr. Outgoing, incompetent chairperson of the Standing Committee. I write to officially say, that's fine. I write, it's his right to say it, eh? I only got it now. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I write to officially instruct. He can't instruct. He has no authority to instruct. In fact, I'll write him a tough reply when I get some time. He can't instruct anything that the bank. Sorry? Oh, yeah. But I have to do this, right? Because you have to table his letter. No, you have to table his letter. You have to do it. It's a thing. Okay. I write to officially instruct that the Banks Amendment Bill are tabled as a private member to be rolled over. This is due to the fact that of pure opportunism of National Treasury and ANC representatives of the committee. Those are just his views. Due to its steadfast ideological and political resolution to create a state bank, the EFF tabled a Banks Amendment Bill with the intention of creating legislative permissibility for the state to create and own banks. You must distribute it to all members, right? Including municipal-owned banks. This is sharply informed by largely successful state-owned companies globally, which, when properly positioned and run, can play a significant role in driving inward-led state industrialization. True to its opportunistic nature, National Treasury through the racist... Oh, I'm not accepting this letter. I'm really not reading this letter. Do I have to read this letter? Can I return it to tell him to rewrite it? No, we'll have checked what the rules allow a chair to do. Can I actually return this letter to him and tell him it's offensive language and we're not going to entertain it? Sorry?
Sir, that part is clearly offensive and unparliamentary as far as I know. You can't...
So can I return the letter to him?
Yes, Chair, you can. You can, with permission of the...
Okay, this letter won't be distributed. I'll just deal with the contents, right? So I'm telling him we're not formally... You tabled a hurried, clumsy bill with superficially proposed amendments to the Banks Act, Insolvency Act. On several occasions, we all admitted that National Treasury's financial amendment needed thorough discussion before being passed into law. We agreed that the practice of putting too many legislation, this is malicious by the National Treasury, and until the arrival, they were launched not so long ago, we had to stop the unlawful promulgation of the FSRA. I am aware that on Wednesday, the 6th of March, the Standing Committee opportunistically voted for the National Treasury Bill and rejected the EFF-tabled Banks Amendment Bill because of the ANC's collective incompetence and envy. Oh, man. Over the fact that the EFF provides a decisive ideological and political... The EFF is aware of this legislation and many others will only be concluded because of the 5th. We will therefore reintroduce the banks. They can do that. Zanya. You advise not to table the bill in national for decisions. You can go ahead and table it to feed into each other's racist egos. Now all of us are racist. When the 6th Parliament resumes, they can do that. Okay, so basically we'll note his letter, express our strongest condemnation of, and we're not prepared to formally distribute this letter until he withdraws that, and that actually we have the right, he can't instruct us. I'll draft the letter and show it to Tandi, okay? And then you all get a copy.
In a normal setting, I would have suggested that we don't even entertain the letter because of its strong language. I want us to test the legality about him withdrawing it because we are in the middle of presenting the bills in Parliament in the chamber next week. We all know that we can't instruct the 6th Parliament to implement decisions of the 5th Parliament, so it's his problem if he's not inducted properly into how Parliament functions, but there is no validated reason that he's raising in relation to the process, because his skipping of meetings has made him not to keep up with the discussions, because in the first meeting, yes, we wanted to be sure about the Insolvency Act, but through explanations that we have received so far, we came to a conclusion that we're satisfied. So maybe it's that part of it that needs to be responded to, because if he's under the illusion that we have not finalized on the discussion, that's what we need to clarify for record, so that we are not taken to task beyond this stage where a person says we have not given adequate attention to substantive arguments that has obtained in the discussion of this specific clauses on the OTC. Because I raised issues that related to these issues that have now been clarified. He never raised any other issue that related to the Insolvency Act or any other issue for that matter. So he's piggybacking on the fact that we as the ANC wanted clarity and we're satisfied with the clarity that has been given on this specific issue. So basically, for record and to avoid the situation of litigation, we can say the process unfolded and remind him of the meetings he has missed, because he has missed so many meetings ever since we started engagement. Even when we went in committee room 1, he has not been there.
No, it's fine.
Meetings.
Look, what I will say, if you band-aid me, but if you want to see a draft of the letter before, I don't mind. It's to say, firstly, because of the offensive nature of his letter, it was not distributed. We tabled those parts that we felt are appropriate for the committee to respond to. Firstly, as I understand it, Frank, we've already taken a decision yesterday, just being formalized, to reject his bill. It is already on the agenda for the Tuesday sitting. And I think unless the law prevents us from doing so, or the rules of Parliament, we must reject his bill. And tell him there's nothing stopping him from reviving this bill in the 6th Parliament. So the first question is, can we still vote on his bill and reject it? We've done it informally yesterday. In fact, the actual motion of desirability I drafted the night before. I just left some spaces for dates. Frank, can we still vote on his bill?
Chair, yes, I'm just checking the rule. The way I understand it is that to withdraw a bill, the person who's in charge of that bill, whether it's a member of cabinet or a private member or a committee, up to the second reading can withdraw the bill, but you send that notice to the speaker, and it happens in the House. That'll be an ATC, but let me quickly check. Yeah. So the committee proceeds until we see that in the ATC that the bill is withdrawn.
I'm trying to corroborate that with the president. That was said when Wessels withdrew his amendments to the PIC bill in the House, because the precedent is that it needs to happen in the House. So that's why the speaker needs to say in the House, as this is tabled, because it's already scheduled for tabling. The speaker needs to say, Mr. Shibambo has withdrawn his private member's bill, and then the House will decide either to accept that or to reject that as a matter of precedence. Yes.
Copies, you've just written copies. Okay, the first page on the financial, it simply notes there were five issues, right? Amendments to Insolvency Act, it simply sets out what we did. In fact, IMPI drafted most of this, I must tell you. And then what we did following stakeholder consultation. Then the next one is the Military Pensions Act, nobody has an issue with that, right? On the amendments to the Banks Act, we acknowledge him. We say that, we included provisions for the formation of state-owned bank. Shivambu's bill helped us to proceed because we discussed it endlessly and what the amendments to the Banks Act provide for, right? We all know that. But the reasons we supported the FMA bill is not because it's Momo, not because it's Treasury. And even if we had another 5,000 years to prepare the bill, it would have come with the same draft. Because, as we say, it was better than the Banks Amendment Bill of Mr. Shivambu because it provides for more qualifications and checks and balances on the formation of a state-owned bank and is drafted in the context of other applicable legislation that NT is responsible for, including the Public Finance Manage Act and the Financial Sector Regulation Act. There were three areas of difference. One, it requires that if a state-owned company wants to apply for authorization for a bank, it must first get the approval of the Minister of Finance acting in concurrence. It should be in concurrence with, right? Acting in concurrence with the minister responsible for the SOC. Yes, thank you. The assets of the SOC, its holding company, and if applicable, the holding company of the holding company.
Sorry, Chair, have you checked the word concurrence in terms of its legal meaning in this context?
Yeah, it is concurrence.
All right.
So it excludes, I sent it to IMPI and Frank, they both approved. It excludes municipal-owned companies from applying for authorization to establish a bank. While the committee fully supports state-owned banks, and in particular the expeditious processing of the licensing of the post bank, we require that because of the possible fiscal risks posed by state-owned banks, which may require bailouts, the above qualifications are necessary to restrict the circumstances in which state-owned banks are formed, and therefore believe that the FMAB provisions on state banks are better than those in the BAB. The committee decided not to deal with whether provincial SOCs should be allowed to establish banks, and if so, under what conditions, as there's a need for more exhaustive discussion on this, and there simply was not the time to do so, right? Then on amendments to the government employees' pension, there's nothing there. Then on the issue of unable to process amendments to the Auditing Profession Act, the committee deeply regrets that it was unable to process these amendments, especially as they are so urgently needed, and the committee itself has been putting pressure on NT for some time to bring these legislative amendments to Parliament. It was just not possible to process the amendments in view of the very limited time available before the fifth term of Parliament ends. The NA rises on 20th March and NCOP on 28th for the May 8 elections, and after consultation between the decision-making authorities in both houses, the committee was advised that the NCOP will not be able to process the amendments to the Auditing Profession Act before the end of the fifth term of Parliament, as they are too elaborate and they are being contested. Also, the Standing Committee on Finance just did not have enough time to process these amendments. And then the Minister of Finance is urged to bring these amendments to the next Parliament as soon as possible after it is convened, and we recommend with due respect that the incoming SCOF committee processes this matter expeditiously. Finally, I think we should put in a provision that we express our serious concern that this bill came to us at the end of January, and we expect that this is a precedent that will not be repeated. I didn't think we must say that because, I'm not blaming the people here who worked very hard. Ultimately, it may be that the ministry had this thing lying on their desk or whatever. But as Parliament, we cannot, colleagues, we cannot allow a bill to come at the end of January, and we finish so many things. Well, one thing we could have finished, state-owned banks. We would have wanted more time. But my ultimate view, by the way, even if we had more time, we would have opted for the same positions, I'll say that, on insolvency and on the GEPF. So I'm saying, please, consistent with our traditions, 25 years later, the executive can't come with a bill at the end of January. Because up to yesterday, you don't know this, I didn't bother you. Up to yesterday, we got a letter at the highest level saying was finished the whole bill. And I had a huge tantrum, and they said, okay, fine. So I'm making it clear. No, I told them.
Yeah.
I told them. No. You know what? You go to the president of the ANC, and you go to the SD's office, and you go to Baleka and Bete, and you go there, and I'm coming to all these meetings. And they said, no, it's okay, we didn't understand, okay. So those who write these letters, please, start here. And don't start with a business day, it doesn't help you at all. Thank you very much. Anything else? No, right. So can we vote on this report? I'm going to put in an extra paragraph. Right. Anything on this report? Can we have a move on a seconder? Now, can we please note that Mr. Lees was late, Shadow Minister Nohal, and he wants to take over as the minister. He's not here for an important vote. Right. All right, Frank, help us with this one now. Now we're going to vote on the motion of desirability. You are late. Look, we understand, Alf. You know what happens now. What's his name? It's not directed at you, right? Not at DA, it's directed at us, the ANC. Shibambu writes a letter where he says he wants to withdraw his vote because it's led by a racist, terrible thing about a national treasury official. And we're not going to formally table that bill, so I'm going to make it clear to him. But Tandy rightly says, you can go. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Okay, I expect you're going to be at the AWB now. Momo, you're having a meeting with the AWB. Who is this? Are you having a meeting with the AWB now?
Yeah.
One of your racist. Yeah. Okay, so here it is. No, we're not going to allow this nonsense, right? But what Tandy rightly says, and I was edging towards saying the same thing, let's deal with the content of his issues. We have already taken a decision to reject his bill. Nothing stops him from, reviving it next time. So, is that right? Can we go ahead? Tell us what the law says.
Chair,
the
issue of withdrawal of a bill, I mean, Rule 334, I think it is, of the NA rules, it doesn't say to you must submit the notice, but it's the Speaker. That's how it's usually done. You write to the Speaker, a minister will write to the Speaker to say, withdraw the bill, and then we ATC it. So that the House communicates with committees through notices in the ATC.
Because they tabled the bill to us.
Yes, exactly. And the House has referred it and said to this committee.
We would drop that part together. Yeah. Okay, I'll just deal with the rules, right? He should know better. All right, so on the motion of desire, I've gone through the thing. I haven't changed a single thing. Yesterday, we all approved of it. Is there a mover and a seconder? Thanks. And the programming committee decided today that they will put that bill first. This time, there won't be confusion, because the private member's bill doesn't have the same name as the, in that case, committee bill. So at this stage, I spoke to Mr. Lees. Alf says, look, man, he feels we should discuss both together. And I agree. And on the other hand, if Mr. Shibambu wants a declaration, then we'll simply repeat the same issues twice. But there's no debate on his bill. It will debate on our bill, and I will send out the notices in the next 10 minutes about, how many minutes and so on. I think we've got 31 or something. I don't know. You've got 12 or something. Yeah, fine. So having said that, is there anything else? No. Now, can I raise something? You can go through. Jerome, thanks a lot. You know what? No. Jerome, you can have two pieces of lunch because you don't belong to this committee. Okay. All right, so can I just raise the thing? Okay, thanks very much, comrade. Thanks very much, yeah. Okay, so now can I raise something? Our exit report, where's Alan? Alan, because you're the most... Can you speak to my friend and speak to Gwen and leave the men's private part out? No, I had the same view to sexist. I was going to say it, but I forgot. I had a little note there. No, but you know... Alex. Yeah, she doesn't. It's outrageous. Really. Yeah. And she tried to speak to the guy in the corner. Hey, they're recording this. Right, can I make something clear? By Sunday evening, where's Brother Leader Slope? Is he here? Where's Brother Leader? Brother Leader, Sunday. The exit report must be done between you and me, right? And Alan and Tebowo. Now, on Tuesday next week, we will vote on the exit report, any other outstanding reports we have, and the outstanding minutes, right? All have to be done. So the team is... No, because we saved time because we brought forward the Financial Matters Amendment Bill, and we decided to jettison the auditors, which is the biggest chunk and controversial one. So now, I want to make a wonderful announcement. But before I do, I would like you all to applaud. Otherwise, you don't get it. Now, first, give a big applause. Hey, y'all are so lacking in loyalty. Okay, Tuesday, we will finish everything, reports. And Wednesday, for once, in the history of humankind, there ain't a meeting. Yeah, no, I don't want your applause now because you have no confidence in me. Yeah, only that else. Right, yeah. So the other thing to say is the following Tuesday is Steinhoff, is that right? And the following Wednesday is illicit financial flows.
Yeah.
Then we are done.
Yeah.
And then Tandi is going to organize a party for the study group as the work. Now, viva Tandi, the work. Yeah. And don't forget to invite Comrade the Enso, our embedded journalist. Thanks, guys.